listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org. So we're still in the Gospel of John. On the night of the Last Supper, which was the Thursday before Easter, Jesus had gathered with his disciples and he gave them several chapters worth of sort of last minute instruction, if you will. These are the things you need to know. One of the things he said was, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I loved you, you should love one another. He said he's going to prepare a place for them, that he will ask God to send an advocate, a Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to abide with them. And then he said, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. May you have my peace. In the world you will face persecution, but take courage, I have conquered the world. So later that night he was arrested. The next day he was crucified, and then just last Sunday we celebrated Easter. We talked about the story of Mary Magdalene coming to the tomb and finding that it was empty. She assumed that his body had been stolen. She runs and tells Peter and another disciple, and they come, they see that the tomb is empty, and then they leave her alone, and she sees the risen Christ. She has a conversation with the risen Christ. And she goes and she tells the disciples, I have seen the Lord. She preaches the first Easter sermon. I have seen the Lord, she says to them. So today's reading takes place later that same night, Easter night. So I'm going to be starting in chapter 20 of John at verse 19. I'm going to split the reading into two parts today. Hear these words. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. As I'm thinking about the disciples in this situation, it made me think about the most scared I've ever been. And I invite you to think about that too, a time when you just were absolutely terrified. For me, it was when I got robbed at gunpoint when I was in college. I can still remember that moment of realizing what was happening and just that blood, you know, rushing through my head, and I could hardly hear. Every nerve was just on edge, and luckily I got away. I've never forgotten that feeling of 100% terror. And I imagine that's how the disciples felt following Jesus' crucifixion. They were terrified. Mary had given them the good news that she had seen Jesus, but it seems like either they didn't believe her or they didn't really think it was good news. Also, Jesus had been killed and they were his friends and his followers, so they had to be wondering, are they coming after us next? And so they're hiding in this room behind doors that are locked, and then seems like Jesus just appears in the room. He's there, and then he blesses them with the promise that he gave them at the Last Supper. Peace be with you. That's the promised peace that he told them he was going to leave them, and he proved it. He proved that he was himself by showing the scars on his hands and on his side. And again, he said, peace be with you. Reminding them of that conversation they had had on Thursday night, that if they experience persecution, they will be able to face it with his help. Then he commissions these disciples to go into the world and do the work that he's called them to do. As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. And then he breathed on them. He bestows upon them the gift of the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit that will empower them and enable them to do the work that He's calling them to do, to go out into the world and tell this story. There's an interesting thing about that verb that John uses, that Jesus said in this story. It's an Old Testament word. It's the same word breathed that we read in Genesis when God breathed life into the first human. It's the same verb that Ezekiel uses in describing his vision of the dry bones in the valley that came back to life. It's the only time this word is used, this particular Greek word, in the New Testament. This is new life. It pulls us back to the Old Testament, to the very beginning, and it is creation reborn. Jesus is starting something new with these folks by giving them a Pentecost moment, by bestowing upon them this Holy Spirit. And then He gives the community the responsibility to rely upon the Spirit to do the work of forgiveness, to release and forgive sins. Going to continue at verse 23. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." So Thomas, at the beginning of this, is in the same boat that all the other disciples had been in the week before when Mary said to them, "I have seen the Lord." Now they're saying to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord," and he didn't believe them any more than they seemed to believe Mary. And I think anybody who has a sibling knows what it's like to be shortchanged or left out of something. You know, like, why is her piece of cake bigger than mine? My family never went on vacations until I was grown and gone. So my sister got to go on all these vacations that I didn't get to go on. Not that I've held on to that in any way. Thomas, he just wanted the same experience that the other disciples had had. And frankly, it doesn't seem like they had done too much with this gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had breathed upon them and the peace that he gave them, because it's a week later. We don't hear anything that happened in the week between, and they're in the same place where they were before. The doors are shut. It doesn't say they're locked this time, but again, they're behind these closed doors. And Jesus appears again and again delivers this peace that he promised. Nobody said, "Thomas didn't believe." Nobody said, "Thomas said he wanted proof." Nobody said that. Jesus simply, without a word, offered to Thomas himself. He gave Thomas exactly what Thomas needed to see the scars and to put his hand in his side. And then Thomas makes a really powerful confession of faith. "My Lord and my God." For Thomas and the disciples, this is full circle back to that night of instruction that Jesus had told them. He told them that God would be revealed through him. For us, it's full circle back to the very beginning of this gospel, where we learn that Jesus was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God from the beginning. One of the commentaries I read this week said this, I love this quote, "It's not touching Jesus that leads Thomas to this confession of faith, but Jesus' gracious offer of himself." Jesus is not shaming Thomas for his unbelief. He's giving Thomas what he needs in that moment. And now all of these disciples have a faith that has been grounded in their sight. But Jesus says, now the harder work starts, because everybody who believes after you is not going to have this opportunity. He blesses those of us who can believe without seeing. This is Jesus' reassurance that you don't have to have seen in person the risen Christ. That's not a prerequisite for faith. And so as people who have chosen to follow Jesus without having physically seen His risen body, we can know that He offers us the same peace that He offered these disciples. And the peace that Jesus offers is not a peace that is enforced by violence or conquest. It's peace that comes from His victory over death, His victory over evil, and His carrying of our griefs, our burdens, our sins. And He offers us the same Holy Spirit that He breathed upon His disciples. This is the Spirit that strengthens us and encourages us to do the work through any doubts and fears and terrors that we may have, to do what He calls us to do, to tell this story of Jesus, to compel us to share the good news with the way we speak and the way we live. So as we continue through this season of Easter, let us be strengthened and encouraged through the peace that Jesus offers us and the reassurance that Jesus gives us and the strength of the power that comes through the Holy Spirit. It is a gift that He gives to us, but not one that we keep to ourselves, but one that we share with everyone. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.